Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, reading verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is called Transfiguration Sunday, and if you don't pay attention, it's probably an obscure thing for you, but pastors, we have to deal with it. It's on the calendar every year, and it's one of those things like Christmas and Easter where you're going to preach on this passage every year. And it's not in all four Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But every year you preach on Transfiguration Sunday. So it must be important, right? Because we have to preach on it. And so I think, you know, as I was looking at it this year, I think I saw some things that I hadn't really noticed before. And I think it will help all of us as we try to deepen our walk with Christ. Because there's some stuff in here. I've gone different ways on this, you know, but there's some things I've seen here this time that are new for me, and I hope they'll be good for you too. And so if you look at verse 2, it says 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And this is known as a retreat. Okay? It's a high mountain by themselves apart. It's a retreat. And, you know, they're not individual retreats. I guess there's a place for that. But it was more than one person. He took three out of the 12. He took Peter, James, and John. So, and then the rest of all of their ministry was this, you know, this, what you see all the time of going and preaching in synagogues and going to preaching people in meadows and pastures and all of that stuff. But this is the only time he took them up into a high place on top of a mountain. And he chose those three for that purpose. And so I think at the very basis, you have to say that going on a retreat is a good thing, okay? And I had never really thought about that in terms of this passage before, that Jesus actually took his disciples on a retreat and modeled that behavior, that it's a good thing to get off by yourself and go someplace different. And I've been to a bunch of them, and it really does change things. The one I've been to, the Moses Montreat Youth Conference, and that's why we're, you know, selling soup out there today. Y'all buy soup. Buy the tomato basil soup. But that's because Montreat Youth Conference is that type of thing that can be a mountaintop experience, and is, really is, and has been for me. And so, and it's, you know, 1,000 high school kids every week for 6 different weeks, and it's a huge ministry. And when I was on staff, well, I was on their board, one of the things we used to talk about is how Montreat complements the work in the local church. is that you have the local church and you do stuff with the youth group, and they see each other and they get together at different times and places depending on the youth ministry program. But that week is when they're all together for a whole week, and they're in an auditorium with 1,200 people. And it just is different. It's different. And it gives you a different sense of God's church, and it gives you a different sense of the Holy Spirit. And I remember I was a song leader there one time, and I did the theme song, and they would go out on the lake. It used to be the last night. They would have communion the last night and do the candlelight around the lake. But it was so many people crying, it was like a cry fest. And they decided to back it up to midweek so it wouldn't be the last night. So what it's saying to me is that we should make opportunities for ourselves to be on retreat. And one of the trends nowadays, and this was on the Montreat board too, is that the youth conferences are going great, but adult conferencing was shrinking. And little by little, the conferencing, the people going to adult Bible conference or We Kirk conference or any of those conferences, those things were shrinking down. And so I want to encourage you to check out what Montreat has to offer. We as a church can do that, to go to retreats. The presbytery just had, it doesn't have to be a retreat, it can be a mission trip. The presbytery just finished a mission trip to Puerto Rico. But giving yourself an unusual, non-normative, special opportunity to see God's grace work in you. And that Jesus modeled this in this story about the Transfiguration. Now, that's not all there is to say about it. But I want to start with that. And it can be, you know, you can go to a Christian concert. Just do some special stuff, okay? Do some special stuff. You can go to the Monastery of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be by yourself, you can go to the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Conyers and have a spiritual retreat by yourself. But if you're serious about going deeper with Christ in your life, this is something that we don't talk about very often, is that to set yourself on the path for a special thing and not the normal thing. Now, we're going to talk about the normal stuff in a minute, but I just want to highlight that part of it. Okay, so they're on this retreat. They have a peak spiritual experience. And it's where we get the term mountaintop experience, I think, is from the story. And Jesus appeared to them in a new way. Do you remember those old Mr. Clean ads on TV? And he had this really glowing white T-shirt, Mr. Clean did. That's the way I look at it. That Jesus kind of, his raiment was glowing as no bleacher could bleach it. And but that's important because, you know, what they've seen up to now is Jesus, you know, being their leader, walking in front of them, teaching, talking about the fig tree that was over here, you know, all these different things. They had not seen this part of him. And this is the 9th chapter of Mark. You know, the middle of 8 is when Peter confesses that you're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed. So this is after they have figured out that he's the Messiah. But this shows them something, and a lot of people say it's, you know, sort of a precursor of his resurrection. But that transfiguration is really a new thing for them to see Jesus, and it really kind of weirds them out. And then, this is the way I look at things. It says that Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus. Now, Mark is supposed to be the recollections of Peter, right? It's supposed to be Peter's talking about. How do they know that's Moses and Elijah? I mean, do they have name tags? Really? How do they know? This is just Moses and Elijah. How do they know that? But it is. And they are the rock stars of the Jewish faith. And they're talking to their rabbi, their personal friend, Rabbi Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And it puts Jesus like, oh, you know, he's there. And so Peter, it's so funny, you can tell this is the recollections of Peter because he admits to being flustered that he doesn't know what he was saying. And I'd like for you to think, if you ever had a peak spiritual experience in your life, if you can think about it, maybe you've had more than one. I've had several different ways. But I'll tell you when I went on. When I was a junior at Wake Forest, I got invited to to go to a Billy Graham conference in Lausanne, Switzerland, called the International Congress on World Evangelism. And so I went by myself to Switzerland for a week. Billy Graham had brought people from every country on earth to talk about evangelism. And I don't know what I, as a 20-year-old, was doing there, but I was there. And I remember one day at lunch, I'm sitting down, we had these long picnic tables in this gymnasium, and I'm sitting there, and a guy sits down in front of me, and I kind of nod at him, and I realize it's Francis Schaeffer. And Francis Schaeffer was one of my heroes. He wrote a book, The God Who Is There, and all this, and he had this little gnarly little tufty beard thing, white beard. And I think, holy crap, that's Francis Schaeffer. And I couldn't say a word to him. And he was talking to everybody around him, and he said, how you doing? I went, good, good, good. You know, and I had so many things I wanted to talk to him about that I read his books and everything. I just couldn't. I just got flustered. And I think that's what's happened with Peter here. Peter is not like me. He didn't close up. He just starts babbling. And what Peter says is, it's good for us to be here. Let's camp out. Or what he said was, let's build tabernacles. And so he wants to stay. It's me, you, Moses, Elijah. We're buds. Let's stay here on top of the mountain. You know, all these other disciples, they can just live. They can do their thing down there. We'll just be up here. He said he didn't know what he was saying because he was terrified. So he was just babbling when he did that. In the middle of all of that peak experience, you know, as things happen on top of a mountain, a cloud came in, and the voice of God says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And that was the word, listen to him. And then the cloud came, and it was just Jesus and those three guys. And that is also the word for our retreats, is to listen to Jesus, to consciously listen, to not just let it roll over you, but to listen. So here are the takeaways I have from this. The first one is what I mentioned at the outset. Do something different for your faith. Do something different. If you want to go deeper, and you may not be. You may not be in that place today. But if you want to go deeper, do something. You know, like research something, a retreat or, a Christian concert or something, or a mission trip that you could go on that just takes you out of your normal kind of rut and you are doing something special for your faith. The second thing is to remember, and this is really important, that peak experiences are the exception. Peak experiences are the exception, not the rule. And you can get in trouble by chasing them. God will give you those experiences. I mean, God could give you that experience, you know, right here this morning in this place with this very limited, humble preacher you have. But God could still do it. God does those things. But don't go chasing after them. You know, the word, it says, as they were walking down the mountain, you know, they had to go back. And this was the only time it ever happened in Jesus' ministry. They had to go back to normal life, listening to Jesus during normal life. And, you know, we're in a culture right now that wants everything to be over the top. I started doing TikTok this year. I don't recommend it, but there's all these influencers, and they'll say, I'm obsessed with this new handbag. They start using the word obsessed a lot. And like, I'm addicted to this perfume. Obsessed and addicted. You know, there's like this hyperbole about everything. And you know, we got to go find a church that has the best band and the best fog machine and, you know, all these things. And we start chasing peak experiences. And most of Christian life, including that of Peter, James, and John, is live just walking behind Jesus on a dirty road. That's where most of it happens. So look for Jesus in the normal times. Listen for Jesus in the normal times. Where you live and move and have your being, Jesus is there. That's what Emmanuel, God with us, means. And here's the third part. Look for Jesus in the dark times. You know, there's normal times where it's not dark, but there are dark times. Times of grief, times of brokenness, times of addiction, loneliness. And those are the times where God seems absent. You know, we chase God in these peak experiences, but when we are dark, when we're struggling with depression, where's God in all that? And that is what this thing says to me, is listen to Jesus. Hear him. Look for Jesus in the everyday, because that is where Jesus is. Even in a dark time, Jesus is there with you. It's there for you. Ask God to open your eyes. Ask God to open your ears. Because God has not left, even when you feel broken. I'm going to close, but I've got a couple of quotes. I don't know how many of these to read. I just pile on quotes and don't know when to stop. All three of them are from Frederick Buechner. So I'll read the long one first. This was from a book of sermons he wrote called The Hungering Dark. And he's talking about the stable in Bethlehem, and that God was reduced to the size of the womb of a 15-year-old girl. And he says, those who believe in God can never in a way be sure of him again. Once they've seen him in a stable, they can never be sure where he will appear or to what lengths he will go or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of people. If holiness and the awful power and majesty of God were present in this least auspicious of all events, the birth of a peasant's child, then there's no place or time so lowly and earthbound but that holiness can be present there too. And this means that we are never safe, that there is no place where we can hide from God, no place where we are safe from his power to break into and recreate the human heart. Because it is just where he seems most helpless that he is most strong, and just where we least expect him that he comes most fully. And I think I'll just close with this one. He's referencing the road to Emmaus and how Jesus was walking beside those folks and they didn't see him, you know? And the reason, it's because they did not expect to see. And so much of our Christian life is what we expect. That transfiguration thing was not what those disciples expected. And you may not expect Jesus to be with you in your darkness. But if you can change that and expect to see Jesus there, here's what he says. The sacred moments, the moments of miracle, are often the everyday moments. The moments which, if we do not look with more than our eyes or listen with more than our ears, reveal only the gardener, that's the, you know, the guy at the tomb, a stranger coming down the road behind us, a meal like any other meal. But if we look with our hearts, if we listen with all of our being and our imagination, if we live our lives not from vacation to vacation, from escape to escape, but from the miracle of one instant of our precious lives to the miracle of the next, what we may see is Jesus himself. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we want to go deeper with you. Give us opportunities, Lord, that we can find places to go on retreat or in ministry. Show us what you would like us to do. But also, Lord, help us to see you in our daily lives, whether they be just normal, mundane, boring, or whether they be fraught with sadness and loneliness and pain and darkness. Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to see you, to see your presence and feel your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen.